Hi, and welcome back to the Phrasal Verb Plus Expat Life podcast. My name is Alyssa. I am an English coach and an English teacher living in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I'm from the United States, from the southern United States to be specific. I want to take a minute to invite you to our private Facebook community that is for introverted language learners. So there's a good chance that might be you. There is a link to that in the description of this podcast and the description of each episode. There's also a link to that in my Instagram bio. And my Instagram is english.for.introverts. I should probably introduce who I am in the beginning of every episode. The first episode I recorded is a short introduction about me, but here you are, maybe listening to this episode for the very first time, and you have no idea who I am or why I'm talking about phrasal verbs and expats in the same podcast. Well, that's because I wanted to talk about two things at the same time. I still haven't talked too much about expat life yet because I have so many things about phrasal verbs that I want to talk to you about. Anyways, today we are going to talk about word stress with phrasal verbs and word stress. So first of all, let's define what is word stress. This is an important concept in, well, a lot of languages, but definitely in English. The word stress is the emphasis or the accent in a word or also in a sentence. So this is so important that the meaning can change if you put an emphasis on a different word in a sentence or if you put a strange kind of emphasis. So for example, what do you want to eat today? What do you want to eat today? This is not a good example. And this, I don't want to edit this though. In this example, today is the stress of the sentence. And that means something that I'm stressing that word because that's like, well, I had to cook food for you yesterday and I had to cook food for you the day before. What do you want to eat today? Okay, that's not a good one. Let me give you another one. So we're gonna meet at the train station. We're gonna meet at the train station. In this sentence, I'm stressing the word at. We're gonna meet at the train station. So it's not strong. If you don't pay close attention, it's not obvious where the word stress is. It's not just like you know immediately where the word stress is. But if you pay attention, there's usually more volume or more of the pitch goes up on certain words in a sentence. So luckily, there is kind of a rule with phrasal verbs. Now, this isn't with all phrasal verbs, but I'll start by telling you that for most phrasal verbs, two-piece phrasal verbs, let's call them two-piece or two-part phrasal verbs. So that's when we have a verb plus a particle, which is the second little word. And that second little word, it's usually a preposition. With these phrasal verbs, we put the stress on the verb to make it a noun. If you put the stress on the particle, that's how you make it a phrasal verb. Like, what? That's crazy. Yeah, so it changes its part of speech. So to summarize that, for phrasal verbs, you want to put, for most phrasal verbs, you want to put the stress on the second word, that is the particle. If not, if you put the stress on the first word, then you're making that phrasal verb a noun. So I'm going to show you a few examples that Now, these words as nouns, maybe you haven't heard of them before, but they are words and we do use them. For example, turn off. Okay, so turn off as a phrasal verb is to, God, it's so hard to say that without using a phrasal verb. You take a light switch and you can, you know, it can go up or down. Usually if it goes down, apagar in Spanish, you're turning it off. Turn off the light. Listen carefully for where's the word stress. Turn off. Turn off the light. I'm putting the stress on the second word. Now, if I say turn off, that's a noun. Maybe you don't know this noun. A turnoff, it is used sexually a lot, but it's also used non-sexually to mean something that makes you lose your interest. It's a thing that makes you lose interest in a person usually. So look, this doesn't have to be sexual, but let's say in the context of dating, a lot of people will say, it is really a turnoff for me if someone smokes cigarettes. It is a turnoff. Or not even in a dating situation. Maybe about work. Maybe I'm applying for a lot of different jobs, and I could say, "Ooh, it was really a turnoff for me that my employer asked me some, I think, too many personal questions." That means that I'm losing my interest in that job. So turn off or turn off. Sorry. So we can make it a phrasal verb or a noun depending on where we put the stress. And I just wanted to mention one other thing about word stress in general and how important it is. As you can see from this is that changing the word stress changes the part of speech and therefore the meaning. And it's also just another aspect of the way we communicate. So communication is not only the words that we use, it's the intention or the context. It's the tone, it's the rhythm, it's the intonation and the word stress. And in many languages, when you change some of these things, you change the meaning. Learning this is worthwhile because you don't have to just study grammar. Like, grammar is powerful and it's a tool for you to express yourself, but there's other more fun things that you can study to express yourself. But we move our bodies in a certain way. You can learn about sarcasm and, American or estadounidense in Spanish, sarcasm, there are patterns in how we do that. And it's based on our rhythm and our intonation. So maybe your language is this way. I want to just show you one sentence and show you how if you put the stress on a different word, the meaning changes. So the sentence is very simple. What did she say? What did she say? What did she say? Now, if I put a stress, what did she say? What did she say? I'm really shocked about the content of what she said. What did she say? And we talk like that a lot, very exaggerated, like, what did she say? And also when we're exaggerating, we pronounce our T's strongly. In American English, we say a lot of our T's are soft like a D. What did? Here it's what? Okay. Here's another. I'm going to put the stress on she. What did she say? What did she say? This means I'm not talking about him or you. I'm talking about her. What did she say? I don't care what you said. What did she say? Different meaning. Maybe I don't even care as much what she said, but I'm talking about her. Or I could put the stress on say. What did she say? This change, this is like, I don't care what she did. What did she say? See what I mean? So this should be kind of exciting for you. Don't stress about it and think, don't stress about stress. No, it's more of a thing that you start to have an intuition and an instinct for. There are things you can learn, like I'm teaching you here about phrasal verbs, but it's more something that you just kind of, you pick it up, or that means to acquire. You pay attention and you mimic people and you can acquire this naturally. You just have to be aware of it. Okay, I'm gonna give you some more examples. I thought of one that you probably do know. That's takeout. So think about that. You know that that's a noun. Like, let's order takeout. And you put the stress on takeout, not take out. See the difference? Takeout. So takeout in the United States, that means food to go. Or like, not delivery. It's when you, well, yeah, or delivery. It's when you eat food at home, you order it and you eat it at home. Let's get takeout. That's a noun. But takeout means to, for example, can you please take out the trash? It means to, again, this is a phrasal verb that's like, this is the only way we say it pretty much. To remove the trash from the house, throw away. That's another phrasal verb. But you know what I mean. To take the trash and put it outside of the house. And see, when we speak naturally, it's not so easy to hear that stress, but it's there. Can you please take out the trash? Take out the trash. Let's get takeout. Takeout. So that's a common one. These other examples I have, they're not so common, but they still illustrate the point here. Walk through. Oh, I remember in university, or we actually call it college. I remember in college, when I lived in a dorm, and once in a while, the resident assistants, or RA, as they call them, the people who are kind of in charge of making sure you don't break all the rules in the building, they come into your dorm room and they do a walkthrough. They do a walkthrough. That just means they come into your room and they look around to make sure you don't have anything you're not supposed to have. So that's a noun. But walk through, with the accent on the second word, means what you might think it means, to walk through something. We walked through, let's take a walk through the park. A walk through the park, not a walk through the park. A walk through the park. Another one, mix up. So I could say, oh, I'm sorry, I got my dates mixed up. That means that my dates were confused. I'm saying it in the past tense here. I'm saying mixed up. I mixed up the ingredients. I'm not saying I mixed up the ingredients. I'm saying I mixed up the ingredients. It means to make a mistake, to mix something in a mistaken way. As a noun, you could say there was a mix-up. Here, the stress is on the first word. Oh, there was a mix-up at the post office, and they sent my mail to the wrong person. There was a mix-up. And the last one I have for you is hang out. This one is really common. So hang out with your friends. I want to hang out with my friends this weekend. Hang out. The stress is on the second word because it's a phrasal verb. Notice how I also just said because it's a phrasal verb instead of because. That's normal. But it can be used as a noun. Think of Google Hangouts. Or maybe there's some like Facebook groups or things, and people are going to organize a hangout. Let's organize a hangout or a meetup. These mean similar things. That's a noun. It means a gathering. Let's organize a hangout. What happens at a hangout? The people hang out. So yeah, another one is meetup. It's the same. Let's meet up. I'm using it as a phrasal verb, so the emphasis is on the second word. Let's meet up. Let's organize a meetup as a noun. The accent, the stress is on the first word. Let's organize a meetup. Okay, so I'm not suggesting that you can just take any phrasal verb and put the stress on the first word and make it a noun. Absolutely not. But just to remind you, if you hear something that you thought was a phrasal verb being used in another kind of way, they're probably using it as a noun, and probably they're putting the stress on the first word. Okay, so something else I want to talk about is three-part phrasal verbs. And this is not something that I have talked about before on this podcast, but a three-part phrasal verb is when you have a phrasal verb with three words, usually one verb and then two particles, usually two prepositions. So for example, put up with, and that means to tolerate, like, I don't want to put up with this behavior. So with these three-part phrasal verbs, we talk about a primary stress and a secondary stress. So primary stress is just the biggest and the main stress. So when you hear me just say the phrasal verb in isolation outside of a sentence, it sounds like when I just say make up, then you only hear the stress on up. But actually, if you use it in a sentence, you would hear that the first word also is stressed more than the other words in a sentence, but not as much as the second word. So let me try to say it really clear for you. I'm going to use the three-part phrasal verb make up for. Okay. She needs to make up for her mistakes. She needs to make up for her mistakes. Make up. She needs to make up for her mistakes. So I'm putting a stress on up is the biggest stress, and then make also has a bit more stress than the other words. So the rule of three-part phrasal verbs is the same as the others. It's the second word that's stressed. The third word is unstressed. So it's make up for. So it's like a little bit of stress, a lot of stress, no stress. Okay. The most important thing to just remember is mostly just put the stress on the second word. Well, that's everything for today. I hope that you found this helpful. If you feel like supporting this podcast, there's a link in the podcast description where you can donate. And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me through Instagram. My new Instagram name is @english.4.introverts. English for introverts with a period between each word. You can also come and join our Facebook group if you're also an introverted language learner. There's a link for that in the bio of my Instagram. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.